the current state of mortgage interest rates. Introduction. The residential real estate market in the United States is enormous. As of 2022, total housing units in the U.S. equaled 143,786,655. The total value of homes hit a record-breaking $47 trillion in June 2023. The market size measured by revenue of the commercial real estate industry was $1.3 trillion in 2022. Various sources. The sheer size of the real estate market in the United States means that significant opportunities are waiting for trained and licensed real estate professionals. An individual may own real estate for a variety of reasons. Buyers generally purchase single-family homes, condos, and townhomes to occupy as their primary residence. Home ownership has historically been seen as an attractive alternative to renting. Benefits of home ownership. The benefits of home ownership include occupancy. The owner occupies the residence. Tax benefits. Mortgage interest and property taxes may be tax deductible. Pride of ownership. For many, home ownership is a sign of accomplishment. Financial protection. Home ownership protects the individual or family from future increases in rental rates. Investment. Properties are purchased and held in anticipation of income, appreciation, or both. The nature of real estate finance. The economic health of the U.S. economy is tied to the health of the real estate industry. Millions of people work directly in some aspect of real estate, including brokerage, development, construction, and agriculture. Beyond that, the industries that support real estate development include suppliers of building materials, support services, furniture manufacturers, and retailers. Most of this economic activity is financed through long-term mortgages, retail installment credit, credit cards, and vehicle financing. A modern economy would not function without the ready availability of credit. While considerable real estate is purchased for cash, most buyers need some form of financing. Residential lending is complicated because these loans are quite large compared to the average borrower's income and ability to repay. Because of this, a mortgage loan goes through a relatively long processing procedure as the lender verifies the borrower's ability to repay and the sufficiency of the collateral in the event the buyer fails to do so. Roles of real estate agents. While the agent does not have to be knowledgeable in all aspects of mortgage lending, he or she has a role that includes 1. Arranging for the pre-qualification or pre-approval of buyers. 2. Discussing general mortgage loan programs that buyers might consider. 3. Answering finance and closing related questions. 4. Providing buyers with a list of potential lenders. 5. Preparing the contract with all terms of sale, including financing conditions. 6. Tracking important dates from contract to closing, including monitoring the time the buyer has to obtain financing approval. Prior to the 1930s, home mortgage loans were typically interest-only loans with a term of 3 to 5 years. It was not uncommon for a homeowner to have 1, 2, or even 3 mortgage loans on a home at the same time. Because these loans were interest-only, many homeowners never paid them off. They simply refinanced when the balance became due. During the Great Depression, many homeowners found that they could not refinance their home loans. In some cases, the financial institution had gone out of business. In other cases, they were no longer making home mortgage loans. In many cases, the homeowner could not refinance because one or more family members had become unemployed. As a result, the 1930s marked the US government's first significant direct involvement in the residential finance market, and in 1934, Congress created the Federal Housing Administration, FHA. Money and the monetary system. What is money? The broadest definition of money is that it consists of those assets which have immediate purchasing power. Money is undoubtedly the currency that is in a purse or wallet. Money is arguably the funds an individual has in a checking account at the bank. Beyond that, money could include savings accounts, money market funds, certain bonds and other financial instruments. Funds in savings accounts might be considered money because banks generally let the depositor remove the funds at any time without prior notice. The fact that no one definition of money applies to all situations has led to the use of two commonly used definitions of money from the Federal Reserve. M1, the sum of currency, held by the public plus transaction deposits at depository institutions, which are financial institutions that obtain their funds mainly through deposits from the public, such as commercial banks, savings and loan associations, savings banks, and credit unions. M2, M1 plus savings, deposits and or small denomination time deposits, those issued in amounts of less than $100,000, plus retail money market mutual fund shares. Money has purchasing power because the vast majority of people in a society believe that it has value. Historically, countries minted coins from precious metals such as gold or silver. One of the many problems with that system was that, over time, a gold coin had less value because of wear and tear. The gold was literally being worn away. Later, the gold coin was replaced with paper currency, backed by an equivalent value in gold or silver held in a government vault. In some countries, paper currency could be exchanged for its equivalent value in gold. Fiat money. A more recent innovation is the creation of fiat money, which is currency not backed by any precious metals at all. Fiat money is the ultimate statement of faith because it has no intrinsic value. For most of its history, the US government maintained a currency based on gold or silver, i.e. the gold standard. By 1971, all currency in the United States was converted to fiat money. Dollar bills, previously known as silver certificates, became known as Federal Reserve notes. Monetary and fiscal policy. Monetary policy. This is the maintenance of a stable money supply that provides economic growth while keeping inflation in check. The Federal Reserve is responsible for monetary policy in the United States. Fiscal policy. This relates to federal government spending, which must be approved by the U.S. Congress. The U.S. Treasury is responsible for raising money to support the spending decisions of Congress. At the Treasury level, funds can be raised to pay for government spending by raising taxes or increasing borrowing. A balance of both policies. In some cases, the fiscal policies of Congress are inflationary. In such a case, the Federal Reserve may respond with monetary policy that cools the economy and reduces the threat of inflation. The Federal Reserve System. A brief history of central banking in the U.S. The Federal Reserve, the Fed, is the central banking system of the United States. The Federal Reserve's most critical role is to keep the economy healthy through the proper application of monetary policy. The objective of monetary policy is to influence the country's economic performance in order to promote stable prices, maximum sustainable employment, and steady economic growth. Even though three objectives are listed, this is commonly known as the Fed's dual mandate. Mortgage rates are affected by events in the global financial market. Actions taken by the Federal Reserve have a fairly immediate effect on short-term rates. However, their impact on mortgage rates is generally less direct. The country's economic performance is influenced by many factors, including economic performance abroad, fiscal policy determined by the legislative and executive branches of government, and monetary policy carried out by the Federal Reserve. The effort to create a strong central banking system in the United States is a fascinating history that was shaped by competing political ideologies, economic crises, and World War I. The following is a brief timeline of significant events in central banking in the United States. 1. 1791 to 1811. First attempts at central banking. At the urging of then Treasury Secretary Alexander Hamilton, Congress established the first Bank of the United States, headquartered in Philadelphia, in 1791. It was the largest corporation in the country and was dominated by big banking and money interests. Many agrarian-minded Americans, uncomfortable with the idea of a large and powerful bank, opposed it. When the bank's 20-year charter expired in 1811, Congress refused to renew it by one vote. 2. 1816 to 1836. A second attempt fails. By 1816, the political climate was once again inclined toward the idea of a central bank. By a narrow margin, Congress agreed to charter the Second Bank of the United States. However, when Andrew Jackson, a central bank foe, was elected president in 1828, he vowed to kill it. His attack on its banker-controlled power touched a popular nerve with Americans, and when the Second Bank's charter expired in 1836, it was not renewed. 3. 1908 to 1912. The stage is set for a decentralized bank. The Aldrich-Vreeland Act of 1908, passed as an immediate response to the panic of 1907, provided for the issue of emergency currency during crises. It also established the National Monetary Commission to search for a long-term solution to the nation's banking and financial problems. Under the leadership of Senator Nelson Aldrich, the commission developed a banker-controlled plan. William Jennings, Bryan, and other progressives fiercely attacked the plan. They wanted a central bank under public, not banker control. The 1912 election of Democrat Woodrow Wilson killed the Republican Aldrich plan. However, the stage was set for the emergence of a decentralized central bank. 4. 1912, Woodrow Wilson and financial reformation. Though not personally knowledgeable about banking and financial issues, Woodrow Wilson solicited expert advice from Virginia, Representative Carter Glass, soon to become the chairman of the House Committee on Banking and Finance, and from the committee's expert advisor, H. Parker Willis, formerly a professor of economics at Washington and Lee University. Throughout most of 1912, Glass and Willis labored over a central bank proposal. By December 1912, they presented Wilson with what would become, with some modifications, the Federal Reserve Act. 5. 1913, the Federal Reserve is born. From December 1912 to December 1913, the Glass-Willis proposal was hotly debated, molded, and reshaped. By December 23, 1913, when President Woodrow Wilson signed the Federal Reserve Act into law, it stood as a classic example of compromise, a decentralized central bank that balanced the competing interests of private banks and populist sentiment. Price and inflation. When there is an excess supply of money in the market, the result is monetary inflation. Often this is caused when governments, central banks, try to make up for an economic shortfall and print more money, then infuse it into the system, even though the market for goods and services does not necessarily increase at the same time. This creates a devaluation of the money, that is, more money equals less value. There are different types of inflation. Bullet demand pull inflation, which is created when there is more money in the market and fewer goods for sale, and bullet cost pull inflation, which occurs when the costs of production and offering services increase, thereby causing manufacturers and tradespeople or vendors to raise their prices accordingly. The costs are then passed on to the consumer. How inflation affects real estate pricing and values. Many factors work together to determine property price. Supply and demand hold the most significant weight of all of those factors. When there is a high demand for housing and insufficient housing is available for purchase, housing prices will rise. This high demand and low quantity create an inflated market. Housing prices rise, creating bidding wars. This is often referred to as a seller's market. To meet the demand for housing, developers often overbuild, flooding the market. Overbuilding will create a drop in prices. More available affordable housing means that potential buyers who may have been frightened of taking on a high-priced mortgage will be much more interested in becoming homeowners. The resulting situation is often referred to as a buyer's market. In the real world, markets inflate, deflate, and stabilize regularly. Real estate agents follow the market and counsel sellers to adjust property pricing accordingly. They should also inform buyers that prices will go up and down, and that a home listed 6 months ago may cost more in the future. Remember that real estate license holders should never guarantee that a property will increase in value, much less hold its value. How the Fed guides monetary policy. The Fed's monetary policy actions affect prices, employment, and economic growth. By influencing the availability and cost of money and credit in the economy, which in turn affects the willingness of consumers and businesses to spend money on goods and services. The Fed uses three primary monetary policy tools to influence the cost and availability of credit. Open market operations. The Fed's most flexible and often used tool of monetary policy is open market operations for buying or selling government securities. The Federal Open Market Committee, FOMC, sets the Fed's monetary policy, which is carried out through the trading desk of the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. Suppose the FOMC decides that more money and credit should be available. In that case, it directs the trading desk in New York to buy securities from the open market. The Fed pays for these securities by crediting the reserve accounts of banks involved with the sale. With more money in these reserve accounts, banks have more money to lend, interest rates may fall, and consumer and business spending may increase, encouraging economic expansion. To tighten money and credit in the economy, the FOMC directs the New York Trading Desk to sell government securities, collecting payments from banks by reducing their reserve accounts. With less money in these reserve accounts, banks have less money to lend. Interest rates may increase, consumer and business spending may decrease, and economic activity may slow down. The discount and federal funds rate. The discount rate is the interest rate a reserve bank charges eligible financial institutions to borrow funds on a short-term basis. This short-term borrowing is secured by the banks, collateralizing their existing commercial paper, meaning that the banks are pledging the notes that are payable to them. Unlike open market operations, which interact with financial market forces to influence short-term interest rates, the discount rate is set by the boards of directors of the Federal Reserve banks and is subject to approval by the Board of Governors. Under some circumstances, changes in the discount rate can affect other open market interest rates in the economy. Changes in the discount rate also can have an announcement effect, causing financial markets to respond to a potential change in the direction of monetary policy. A higher discount rate can indicate a more restrictive policy. In comparison, a lower rate may be used to signal a more comprehensive policy. The federal funds rate is the rate that the Federal Reserve charges banks for unsecured loans. most of which are for a very short term, sometimes overnight. Banks use these short-term loans to meet their liquidity requirements when withdrawals threaten to exceed cash on hand. Reserve requirements. By law, whether or not they are members of the Federal Reserve System, financial institutions must set aside a percentage of deposits as reserves to be held either as cash on hand or as reserve account balances at a reserve bank. The Federal Reserve sets reserve requirements for all commercial banks, savings and loans, credit unions and US branches and agencies of foreign banks. Depository institutions use reserve accounts at Federal Reserve banks, not only to satisfy reserve requirements, but also to process many financial transactions through the Federal Reserve, such as check and electronic payments and currency and coin services. Raising reserve requirements reduces the availability of funds for lending, thereby slowing the economy. Lowering reserve requirements increases the availability of funds for lending, thereby accelerating economic activity. Rates are also affected by government spending, borrowing, and the overall state of the economy. When the Fed targets a higher federal funds rate, it makes it more expensive for banks to borrow money from one another. The banks then pass that charge on to their customers by charging them higher rates on their loans from the bank. This is when rates on consumer loans, like mortgages, go up. How interest rates are determined. Who sets the interest rates? Just like everything else in the free market economy, interest rates are subject to the forces of supply and demand. In the US, the organization known as the FOMC has an outsized influence on interest rates. The Federal Open Market Committee, FOMC, consists of Federal Reserve Board members and Federal Reserve Bank presidents. The committee meets several times yearly to agree on a specific interest rate. Although the Fed is the central bank, it does not set the rates, per se. They buy and sell treasury securities on the open market to influence demand. This affects short-term interest rates. These short-term interest rates go on to influence the rates on all sorts of other loans, from car loans to corporate bonds, even mortgages. This is the process by which the Fed controls interest rates without outright dictating them. How are mortgage loans priced? From the lender's perspective, a mortgage represents an investment in an annuity. The lender invests in the mortgage and receives regular monthly payments of principal and interest from the borrower, as with an annuity. All investors are interested in the yield on their investments. The yield is the return the investor receives over the life of the loan. Lenders generally make loans in anticipation of their sale to investors in the secondary market, and the yield requirements of these investors are the primary determinant of mortgage rates. The yield on a loan is determined by the rate of interest charged on the loan and the discount points charged by the lender at closing. A 1-point discount is 1% of the loan amount and is an upfront payment of interest paid by borrowers to reduce the interest rate on the loan. The rate and discount points charged on a loan are a function of many factors, including the prevailing rates in the market, the type of property being financed, the term of the loan, and the borrower's credit, income, and down payment. Each borrower has a unique financial profile, meaning that each borrower will be quoted differing rates and terms. A lender may quote a borrower a rate of 6% per annum on a particular mortgage product. At this rate, the lender is not charging discount points. A loan with no discount points is known as a par loan, a loan that is made at the current market rate of interest. A borrower with a 6% quote will go shopping for a better deal. After all, who does not want a loan with a lower interest rate? The borrower's quest will be quickly satisfied when he or she finds a lender who will happily quote a rate of 5.75%, 5.5%, or even less. Does that lender have cheaper money to lend? Is the lender simply being generous? The answer to both of these questions is probably no. The lender, quoting the lower rate, added discount points to the quote to compensate for the lower rate. If the current market supported the quote of a loan at 6% with no discount points, a loan made at a lower rate is clearly below market. The loan can be sold to investors, but only at a discounted price that will yield the investor 6% over time. Investors will buy the loan but will discount it because it is below market. They might purchase a $100,000 loan made at below market rates, but might only pay $98,000 for it. The lender will need to recover the loss incurred in making the loan at a below market rate. Discount points, which are prepaid interest, accomplish this for the lender. The lower the rate offered to the borrower, the higher the charge for discount points. A loan offered to the borrower at a higher rate may result in reduced fees because it will be sold to investors at a premium. Mortgage rates are affected by events in the global financial market. Actions taken by the Federal Reserve have a fairly immediate effect on short-term rates. However, their impact on mortgage rates is generally less direct. The country's economic performance is influenced by many factors. Economic performance abroad, fiscal policy determined by the legislative and executive branches of the government, and monetary policy carried out by the Federal Reserve.